This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. At 5:45 for our Bet 365 triple option feature, Joe Nowak will join us. Jeff takes over at 6 o'clock. Steve got the night off, got some things to do with the boy, and congratulations to him, thing at Rummel High School. So Steve says stay safe out there. And we want to tell everyone, with the inclement weather coming in, we will update you on the top hour news about the weather. If anything happens, we'll join and cut into Sports Talk. But starting in the 6 o'clock hour at 6:35, Mike Everson, you've heard him many times here from the National Weather Service, will join Sports Talk and talk about the weather that is coming in tonight and also into tomorrow. So it's just not a short time frame here. Looks as though this is going to last into tomorrow, and you can hear everything here on the Big 870 WWL about any sort of weather updates. And then at 7:35 from WWL New Orleans, their chief meteorologist Chris Franklin will join Jeff and Charlie also to talk about the weather that's coming in tonight, which will linger into tomorrow morning. And you can get all that information right here on the Big 870 WWL, and also tomorrow morning because of the updates. We've heard so many times about this training effect. All of us have lived in South Louisiana, have been through it. You just don't know where it sets up, where the potential of some flooding, some street closures, that sort of thing. We will give you all that information right here on the Big 870 WWL. And it starts on the top of our news, and then starting around 6:35 tonight and also at 7:35 tonight. Want to tell everybody, a little after 4:20 from Chateau Brando, the legendary Tim Brando will join us. We'll talk a lot about certainly pro football, LSU football, SEC, college football right around the corner. And Tim also covers college basketball. So we'll get his take on what's happening also at LSU with Matt McMahon trying to rebuild that program there. Charlie, last night, two really good NBA games that had my attention, and we saw the Denver Nuggets. Man, they threw a haymaker and were able to knock down Oklahoma City in game one. Now, again, it's a long series, but an impressive win by Denver against Oklahoma City, which, man, they had been the cock of the walk, so to speak, in the West. We saw Denver take them down last night, and then, a real surprise, the Knicks, man, with a solid punch, knocking down the Boston Celtics. And you talk about two great watch games. That was it last night.
Just a shocking turn of events, huh, Mike? Like, I don't think I can remember a single night of NBA basketball in the playoffs that was that exciting back-to-back. Both games were unbelievable. And the comebacks for both teams with the Knicks and the Nuggets. I mean, Mike, we've talked with Nick Friedell and other NBA reporters about this in the past. Was anybody going to stop it from being an OKC-Boston NBA Finals? Because that's what it felt like it was going to be all along. All of a sudden, New York comes into Boston and TD Garden. They're down by 20 points. Jalen Brunson leads this unbelievable comeback. They have it at the very end of the game, Mike, in regulation, where Brunson just misses the floater, just a little bit too much under it, and then it goes into overtime, and they still win in overtime. So Boston was given kind of the life raft there, and they still couldn't get it done. Now, a couple of things about the Boston series. I don't think you're going to see them miss 45 threes in a single game for the rest of the series. So that's one thing. But getting game one on the road is crucial for underdog teams. And the Knicks got it first. And then the second game was one-upped. Like, I had no faith that Denver could even stick with Oklahoma City. But, I mean, Nikola Jokic, once again, proving that he's the best player in basketball. And then Aaron Gordon with his second game winner in the playoffs this year, with that huge three to give him a two-point lead with about 2 seconds left. Unbelievable games. And this is a fun stat that I saw from Evan Abrams, who currently does work for Action Network HQ. He also did work for ESPN Stats and Info and other stuff like that. Two NBA underdogs of 9-plus points won outright on the same day in the playoffs for the first time in the last 25 years last night, Mike. It was a historic night for the NBA. And now both of those series that we thought, oh, you know, OKC and Boston should cruise to the conference finals, not so fast.
Charlie, what that tells me is game two for both, they'll have a lot of peeping eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, everybody's going to watch, because I thought, like you, the Knicks might win one, but, you know, they would do that in New York and win. Denver might win a game, but Oklahoma City was the clear-cut best team in the West throughout the season. And to see, man, the big guy, when they needed him, man, he was something special. And as you pointed out, still the best NBA basketball player today.
Yeah.
That's no debate about that. I mean, you might have a favorite with somebody else, but that big guy can play. And he carried that team on his back. You are right, Aaron Gordon, I thought, certainly played a big part in their victory. But the big guy, man, when they needed him, he was there. And he hit clutch moment shots.
Jokic with 42 points and 22 rebounds in that game last night over OKC. And StatMuse had this. And take it for what it is, because they have played a couple extra games in the postseason, because they went to 7 against that Clippers team. But Jokic in this playoffs, via StatMuse, second in the NBA in points, first in rebounds, first in assists, first in steals and blocks. He's just unbelievable, Mike. Like, we'll eventually have conversations about Jokic and where he ranks all time amongst the greatest big men in NBA history. But he's starting to creep into that conversation. I know he's already got the finals and the finals MVP. But listen, if he wasn't kind of robbed of that MVP award the year that Embiid won, we'd be talking about a potential 5-time MVP. And he may get robbed again this year with SGA.
I think he will.
I think it will be kind of bogus, if I'm being honest with you, Mike. He's just the better player. Like, yes, SGA's got the better team, 68 wins. You can give it whatever respect you want. But if you're just talking about the best player in basketball, which is what the MVP award should be, regardless of team output, because there's been times where they've given it to, you know, I remember the year Russell Westbrook averaged a triple-double and he won the MVP on a 6 seed, right? It should go to the best player in basketball, and that's Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, and Sam Presti with Oklahoma City today was the winner of the Executive of the Year. Certainly got to give him a lot of credit for what he pieced together at Oklahoma City. And this was a team kind of flat on their back a few years ago. But, man, they've drafted well. They've been able to move all the chips all over the board and got themselves 68 wins in the regular season, which is a club record and the best out west. So Sam Presti's done a really good job. Charlie, do they have 2 first-round picks this year too?
So it depends on what happens with the 76ers.
With the lottery, correct.
Yeah, the lottery. The 76ers have the 5th-best odds in the lottery, but if they get unlucky and fall out of the top 6, that pick conveys to OKC. So we'll see what happens. Next Monday is going to be a huge night. We've talked about it multiple times, Mike, about the Pelicans and where they stand in the lottery, but also a couple other teams like, as I mentioned, the 76ers, if they don't land in the top 6, that pick conveys to OKC. And that's just another one of those Presti magic things. It feels like every single year, like, this team is solid, but then they also have all these picks to fall back on too. It's a crazy, crazy job of building a roster.
So Philly gets the 7th pick, that goes to OKC.
It goes to OKC.
Yeah, that's all they need.
You would figure,
point.
Right?
Yeah. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL. And the legendary Tim Brando will join us from Fox Sports right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin, or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike DeTille along with Charlie Long while we're trying to connect to Timmy Brando. One of the things we talked about last Thursday was about the possibility that the winner of the race, and we spoke about journalism and sovereignty being the two top horses, so to speak. They were the two top ones. Sovereignty or journalism, maybe not racing in the Preakness. Well, today, the Kentucky Derby winner Sovereignty announced, not him himself, but his trainers and the people that owned him, is that they're skipping the Preakness and that they're going to basically shoot for the Belmont. And this is no surprise to me. I know we had on our racing expert about it. He felt as though the winner would run. But, man, I've seen this a few times over the last few years where some of these horses and their trainers will skip that a bit kind of chance to win the Triple Crown and, you know, just kind of skip it out. So Sovereignty is skipping the Preakness. He will run into Belmont. And so no surprise to me on that end, Charlie, that that this would happen. Again, I brought it up Thursday that I felt if it was Sovereignty or even journalism, which they finished 1-2, that the winner would not run. He would not run in the Preakness, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, we had asked Dick Girardi about this last week, Mike, ahead of the Derby, that, you know, would there be one of the props that BetOnline was putting out there, would there be a Triple Crown winner this year? And he said no, flat out no. And
no,
it just feels like this happens every single year, doesn't it? And I know that Pat Ford had put out there that horse racing is the king of self-inflicted wounds, that, you know, people are interested in Triple Crown stuff, but, you know, we haven't seen one in quite some time now, and it just feels like every chance that you get with a Kentucky Derby, maybe upset that, oh, will they run the next race with the Preakness, and it's just, no, it doesn't happen. So a little bit unfortunate, but it is what it is.
Charlie, while we try to get in touch with Timmy, a little bit about the games tonight, because while last night, I don't know if you could find two better games to watch. I really don't know if you're a basketball fan or even a casual fan that really capture your interest. What about tonight's games in the NBA?
Yeah, so it's interesting, Mike. You know, the game won so far in the semifinal round of the NBA playoffs have all been upsets. The Pacers took game one from Cleveland in game one, and then last night's doubleheader, which was fantastic, the Knicks, and then obviously the Nuggets taking game one from Boston and OKC respectively. Now we have game two of Indiana versus Cleveland tonight. Cleveland is still, you know, heavy favorites. It feels like Vegas is just kind of disrespecting Indiana in a sense. I get it that this is of utmost importance to them to not go down 2-0 at home. So, but 7.5-point favorites, and there's some question marks about Cleveland with their health because DeAndre Hunter, Evan Mobley, Darius Garland, all key players for them are potentially questionable game time decisions for this matchup. So we'll see what happens there. There's something worth monitoring. That game's going to be at 6 o'clock tonight, and we'll share live updates throughout the night. And then the second matchup of the evening, the Warriors go to the Timberwolves for the first game of that series. That's the only series of the four that has not started just yet, and it's because the Warriors and the Rockets went all the way to game seven, which happened on Sunday. So that game is going to be in Minnesota tonight. And Mike, you know, how many times in the second round of the playoffs do you see a six seed hosting the second round against a seven seed? I think it's a pretty interesting matchup, but this isn't a regular seven seed with Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler.
No, because down the stretch, they were pretty hot.
Yeah.
And you didn't want to see them on the schedule if you were trying to play for a W. Now, I got a lot of teams that you play, you know what they were playing for toward the end of the season. But the Warriors got some experience with Steph Curry. They got some talent. They can jack it up. And the Timberwolves and what they were able to do, man, that was impressive in the last series. They had some backbone there, and they weren't going to back down. But to have game one on their home court,
yep.
We'll see how this goes with them. I still love the Warriors.
Okay.
You know, maybe because, you know, I'm still thinking of maybe Steph Curry of a few years back. But I think with him and Jimmy Butler, they're going to give the Timberwolves a lot of issues.
I lean the Timberwolves. Vegas also kind of leans the Timberwolves, but less heavy than I thought it would be. Minnesota was so impressive against the Lakers.
Oh,
and I understand that was a flawed Laker roster, and Minnesota took advantage of the issues that they had, especially with the size. I just like what Minnesota can throw at teams in the playoffs with their multiple rotations. And then they have the superstar with Anthony Edwards, this emerging piece that, you know, Adidas has labeled as the Kingslayer after last year. He takes down Kevin Durant and Nikola Jokic en route to the Western Conference Finals. This year, he takes down Luka Doncic and LeBron in the first round, and then moving on to the second round, has a chance to take out Steph Curry as well. So, listen, if they make a run to the Western Conference Finals and potentially meet one of, you know, OKC or Denver, I think that it would be another kind of feather in the cap for Anthony Edwards, who's still trying to get over that hump, but at the same time, he's an emerging superstar in this league.
Charlie, we're going to go to break. Timmy Brando just got in touch with me. They've gotten some major weather issues where he's had tornadoes in the area. So we're going to get in touch with Tim and have him on. We're going to go to break here and come back with Tim Brando right here on the Big 870 WWL.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long, handling things behind the scenes. Want to tell everybody, keep your dial tuned into the Big 870 WWL weather events happening in our area. And we'll have all kind of coverage at the top of the news hour. And starting at 6:30 and also at 7:30, we will have updates from the National Weather Service and also from Chris Franklin, chief meteorologist for Channel 4 in New Orleans, to give us updates. And one guy that just sort of felt the wrath of that storm heading a little north of us, the incomparable Tim Brando. Timmy, I hope you're doing okay, and I know y'all had some rough weather pass through.
Yeah, we had right across from the airport a tornado on the ground, but then a nice little act of God, it went up above and has not gone back on the ground since, but it was just literally a few miles from the Shreveport airport, and our lights were blinking off and on, straight line winds of about 65, 70 miles an hour. So we're okay, and I guess we'll wait for another round, but I apologize for
that's okay,
being
Timmy.
A
hey,
bit,
listen,
late, a little tardy for your show here.
Hey, listen, I give you dispensation on that. I'm just worried about making sure you and the family are doing okay.
Yeah,
Tim,
good.
And a two-part question here for you. You got to see the young Kelvin Banks Jr. 18 years old, starting as a true freshman at University of Texas. So I'll get you to comment on Kelvin a little bit. And, man, you know, we saw Will Campbell do it at LSU. It's sort of rare when you got a left tackle that, man, I walked off a high school campus, now I'm going up against these grown men, and he took care of business. The second thing is, and I brought this up yesterday, we had a guest on who covers the Longhorns, and mm-hmm. I told him the big difference I see of Texas today than 5 years ago, and people always now refer to it as the Eagles way, but long before the Eagles – I watched USC in the 2000s with Pete Carroll, and everybody want to talk about Reggie Bush and Lindell White and Matt Leinart and Carson Palmer and Michael Williams. All those guys were great. But, Tim, in a five-year time frame, they had two offensive linemen picked in round one, four picked in the second round. In that same five-year time frame, they had six defensive linemen go in round one and two in round two. Who was on that staff? Steve Sarkisian. He goes to Alabama, and look how Nick Saban built that team. And, yeah, it wasn't always around the quarterbacks. It wasn't – he didn't every year have a Tua Tagovailoa or a Jalen Hurts or a Mac Jones. He won by big boy football long before the Eagles did it. And I think that's the difference we see now in Texas. For people who say, oh, they can't compete in the SEC. My thing is, they built like Georgia and Alabama. They go compete and compete at a high level in the SEC.
Yeah, and, you know, when they won the national championship and beat USC with that Vince Young team, it really was. And you know, credit to Mac. I'm not going to throw Mac Brown under the bus like so many others do, but the reality is the game was different then. The league they were in was different. And really open, wide open offense was really that was what was happening in the sport at that time. Sort of the, you know, what was going on in Texas 6A high school football all of a sudden was translating in college. And that was going on everywhere.
Yep.
It was. Now that changed once, you know, defenses caught up to it. Okay, Saban even had to do it after Deshaun Watson put on a show in 2016 against him, and you saw what happened. Suddenly those linebackers looked a little different, you know, a year later. And so the game evolved from a defensive standpoint there. Sarkisian is smart, and he's been at both USC and Alabama, and in both places he was magnificently successful because of what? The ability to both run the football, run it really well, and then call great plays for the passing game with really talented people. And that's why they're built the way they are. And it's one of the reasons why a guy like Banks is now going to come from there. It was very well documented, Mac's inability those last few years to find quality offensive linemen. And by the way, that wasn't just true at Texas. It was true at a lot of different places, okay? In the Pac-12, it was obvious that those teams were suffering, including USC, with their offensive lines. And that's one of the reasons why Oregon, both when Chip Kelly was there, a little later, Mario Cristobal, same thing. He built with an offensive line first. So what does Cristobal have in common? Obviously with Sark, he worked under Saban. Now, granted, he's not a play caller the way Sark is, but still they had that commonality between them. I got to tell you, I loved what the Saints did in this draft. Banks being at the top of that list, clearly a great get. But what I really could not fathom, and Mike, it's one of the things, and I don't want to sound like Mel Kiper when I say, you know, the NFL just does not always get it when it comes to quarterback. But there are times when they don't. And by that I mean, how many great quarterbacks are there really versus number of teams in the league? Pretty amazing. And the reason is, a lot of guys get run out of the league because their salaries are too high, because they were first or second round picks and they weren't worthy of those picks. And then suddenly they're too expensive to hold on as backups. That's happened, you know, for generations now in the National Football League. Tyler Shuck is a guy that I saw as a freshman have to play against Washington State when Leach was there. And he had the number one passing team in the country at that time. Herbert was hurt. and he had to come in and play. And he was mostly known as a runner at that point. He probably only had command of about 20% of the playbook. And even that night, you could just see the competitive juices in the kid. Now, because he ran it a lot, he was what? Vulnerable to injury, and he had tons of them. And what happened to him at Texas Tech, I was there to do plenty of games there, both before he got hurt and then when he got hurt, and saw what happened to that program. It cost a couple of head coaches their jobs. But Chuck really Tyler became an even better quarterback at Texas Tech. It was terrible what happened to him at that time. For him to have landed where he did and have the opportunities at Louisville to sort of finish off his game the way he did, I think this is the kind of quarterback that you really want if you're the New Orleans Saints, because he learned how, because of those injuries, he had to learn a different approach and reinvent himself as a quarterback. And he worked under some really good coordinators and guys that he took a little bit from this guy, a little bit from that guy, and became, I think, a really charismatic whole. And I don't think there's any question. There's no question that the closest thing in this draft to Drew Brees at the quarterback position was Tyler Shuck. And I guarantee you, the new head coach is smiling from ear to ear, who knows a thing or two about wide open offenses and guys that came from that, having been around it and seen it, you know, when he was out at Boise and when he was playing against teams like that, whether it was Oregon or Washington State. You know, he knows all about that. And I think he's just going to have a remarkable year. And the other part of the draft that I really loved, because I saw him up close and personal many times, not only is he going to be great on the field, he will be unbelievable in the locker room, Devin Neal. Devin Neal is stronger than you think, faster than you'll ever imagine. He's got great football speed, and he's been catching the ball coming out of the backfield quite a lot. He's got the ability to be a Darren Sproles, only he's bigger and he's faster than Darren Sproles. So I thought it was an outstanding draft and something that the Saints can really build upon. This is going to be a foundational draft for them, Mike, that is going to be, I think, within 2 to 3 years, mirroring what happened when Sean got there in 06 and what happened all the way leading up to 09. I'm not going to predict the Super Bowl in 3 years, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to see a flip of the switch and a foundation built here in the next 2 seasons that has them knocking on the door to win their division and to have inroads in the playoffs again real soon.
Timmy, the other guy, too, is Danny Stutchman. Every time you watch Oklahoma play, and we're going to have Coach Summerall on in the 5 o'clock hour, and I'll get his thoughts on it, but I remember the Green Wave was playing Oklahoma last year. And so in doing, you know, which I normally do, man, I watch 3 or 4 games. And, man, every time you watch Stutchman, it was like there were twins. That was like two of them. You say, okay, he's got a brother on the team. No, it's him. His instincts, his instincts, his size, his ability to track the ball carrier and to get the head to tell the body what to do. And sometimes people say, oh, you over-exaggerate that. I'll tell him you're full of you-know-what. Because sometimes guys athletically have it, but it takes a little while for the brain to tell the body where to go. With Stutchman, it's instant. Bang, he's there. Oh, he needs to work in the coverage part of the game. But his play against the run, just look at the numbers.
Yeah, the speed sideline to sideline. He was one of the reasons that Alabama got their you-know-whats kicked. Okay, when that late season loss in primetime, you know, that he had a lot to do with that. And let me tell you something else about that kid. You talk about his ability to drop back into coverage. He'll do a good job of that, but he's not a high. He's a real linebacker. Okay, his foundation is the linebacker position. So many of the guys now playing linebacker in today's game, and it's one of the reasons why it's hard to find them that will come right into the league and make such a significant impact. It's because they're really hybrid safeties. You know, you're seeing a lot of this, you know, three-man line stuff in the college game and drop eight. And so a lot of these linebackers are really safeties, and they have to learn how to tackle. They have to learn how to get sideline to sideline against you know, a simple stretch play. Stutzman knows how to do that, and he can get there very quickly. And I think his ability to drop back into coverage is something that he'll get better at in due time. But it was a fantastic draft. I pointed out the two that I did because I thought it was important to go along with the big kid from Texas, that people understand how great a find it was to get a guy like Tyler Shuck, who a lot of NFL pundits were saying, no, he's too old. You know, he's damaged goods. That's crap. That's absolute crap. And it's that kind of thing that Kiper goes off on that upsets a lot of people. But, you know, Mel is old school. Plus, he invented the industry of research on players and draft analysis. Of course, he's wrong a lot. Hell, he's got to talk about every one of them. He's going to be crazy. He's going to be
wrong.
Yeah,
we all going to be wrong, no matter what.
Isn't that the truth?
So, we wrong every day in decisions we make, so you're going to be wrong on players. One of the things, Tim, I see change because in working the camps here, and we have three or four really major camps here in South Louisiana, Manning Camp, Louisiana Line Camp, Pete Jenkins, who you know really, really well. And a couple years back, Pete asked me, he said, where, Mike, are the big linebackers? And so you would see a young man come in. He's 16, 17 years old. He's 6'2", 6'3". And you know, I ask him, you know, you play defense? And, no, sir. I'm a wide receiver or flex tight end. I told Pete, you know what changed the world? 7-on-7. Because those guys, man, I don't want to play defense. I want to catch the ball. Timmy, what we going to see is much smaller linebackers, and not just for a year or two. It's going to be a while before they can change that around because we've sort of hybrid all these bigger guys into being receivers and tight ends.
Well, or rush ins, okay?
Yes.
They, because they know that's where the money is, and that's where you'll get drafted very highly and get a lot more to sign at that position because it's a – it's a much needed position, you know. But to your point, all of that really did change. I pointed out that win Clemson got in the national title against Alabama and really what it meant to Saban from a defensive point of view. He did not have linebackers that could keep up with what they were doing from an offensive standpoint. And with Watson at his absolute best, unfortunately for Deshaun, that's where his game peaked. It hasn't been too good since then. But that's where it changed, and it changed everywhere as a result. To your point about linebackers, that kid is a throwback. He's a throwback, and he's going to remind a lot of people of some of the great linebackers that Jimmy Mora had that began, you know, the Dome Patrol back in the day. He's got that kind of capability, and I know that's going to make the hearts of a lot of Saints fans feel awfully good.
Timmy, we got to cut it short because we got weather events and we got to cover it. But thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. When we come back, me and we're going to talk a lot more about college football. And everybody says, there's no way Ohio State can be that good this year. And I said, okay, you lose 15 guys to the NFL. Common sense tells you you're not going to be that good this year. Somebody else is going to grab that moniker, and it may well be one of those SEC teams.
Yeah, you're right about that. We'll do it again real soon. I'm available. Good time.
Thank you, Timmy. Appreciate it, buddy. You take care. Tim Brando, the incomparable one. You hear him on Fox Sports covering college football, the NFL, and also college basketball. Does a great job no matter where. Also has done even some golf outings for him. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. Finishing up here, our number one of sports talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long. Want to tell everybody we'll be giving you weather updates on the top hour newscast at 5, 6, and 7. And at 6:30 or a little bit afterwards, we'll be giving you updates that at that time and also at 7:30. But the weather events, you heard Tim Brando talk about it. He just experienced it and it kind of delayed him being on with us for a few minutes because of the inclement weather in North Louisiana. One of the things Tim brought up, and I have a texter asked me about, well, what happened to Cristobal at Miami or Florida? How come they didn't get in the playoffs last year with Cam Ward and the talent they had on offense? Easy answer. Their defense stunk. They weren't very good.
I'm just telling you, just like Saints fans, oh, anybody can play quarterback better than Drew Brees. Oh, yeah? You're going to find out real quick. The same thing's going to happen at Miami or Florida. This is nothing against Carson Beck, who I think is immensely gifted. Man, he can throw the football. Now, he's distracted a little bit in life, and I hope he becomes a little bit more focused young man. But all I'm telling you is Cam Ward won them 3 to 4 games that they would have never won had it been another quarterback on that Hurricane roster, because their defense was so, so bad all season long.
Mike, the one game that comes to mind immediately when I think of how bad that Miami defense was and Cam Ward putting on the Superman cape, you remember the Cal game?
Yeah.
Where Miami went to Cal and they had a 21-3 fourth quarter to make a huge comeback. Cam Ward throws for like 440 yards and they just overcome this gigantic deficit and a huge hole that the defense dug. That's what Cam Ward did for Miami all year last year.
People don't realize, man, they think it's next man up because they hear it. Man, there's no such animal like that. Cam Ward's a different individual. We'll be back with more sports talk right after this news break on the Big 870.